Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM, but we're also streaming not only on the Odyssey app, where it's free to download and free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. We're now also streaming on the TuneIn radio apps as well as the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
My company as he is each and every Tuesday on the program. He's the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, available wherever you get your podcast each and every week. Also on the VSiN College Football Betting Tailgate Show, you can see that Saturdays, 8 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. You can also download the VSiN Watch app. Check him out on VSiN Primetime on X at 1 Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello, sir. How we doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, my man. How about you? How are we feeling after we had a full weekend of NFL and college football?
It's exhausting. I mean, I went into last night being like, man, still got an NFL game? Whew. All right. And
last night's NFL game, I know for you, is obviously different, but it felt to me a lot like the national title game did. I mean, I know for the Notre Dame and Ohio State fans out there, it's like, hey, it was a national championship game. I understand. But, like, I did find myself being like, man, I don't really know if I need to watch Vikings and Bears. Like, I'm going to, but I don't know if I need this.
Well, in the first three quarters, it
yeah, no, we didn't need it.
Refreshed that. But the fourth quarter was awesome. And, you know, people will never learn. We don't need your immediate,
I told you, the 2024 draft class needed a dud quarterback.
Okay, or the guy's making his first career start on the road, and he looked kind of awesome in the fourth quarter. So relax on the hot takes, but, you know, as I've been told, that's why I'm probably never going to make it big in this world, is I don't do the hot take thing, and I waited back and I was like, wow, J.J. McCarthy's actually looks pretty competent in this fourth quarter and could be pretty interesting in this NFC North, which is going to be from top to bottom, in my opinion, the best division in football.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was thinking, has nobody watched NFL football before? Like, literally, the last game that we just saw had a team down 15 points with 5 minutes to go. They came back and won the game. Like, NFL games can flip and can flip with no real rhyme or reason. And what I also thought was funny was, if I would have recorded the halftime when they went to the desk, and then I would have recorded the post game at the desk, you would have thought that those two people didn't even watch the first half. Like, everybody's takes had entirely flipped.
Yeah. And I didn't. You know,
by the way, on both quarterbacks.
I still think Caleb has the potential to be, I don't know, awesome, but I thought, you know, when we had Mike Sando on after his Tears column came out, I think I asked Mike, I'm like, are you surprised that he came in at 24? Like, people, I don't know if it's because of the nails or the crying and his mom, whatever it was at USC. I think people just don't like Caleb Williams.
I definitely think there's a personality aspect of it. They do
and
not
he might
like
be a, he might be a weird dude. I don't know, but I think he's a pretty good football player.
Well, I mean, Mark just wrote a feature on him yesterday about, you know, I think he is misunderstood. I would also say he presents himself poorly. I would say he needs, they kind of, I think they got to LA and they had one too many LA brand managers get involved. And
if he was able to leave after his Heisman Trophy season, I think it would be, his perception would be completely different.
Now,
it felt like that junior year just kind of warped things. He didn't play all that well.
That was the funny thing. I actually had more respect for him that junior year than I even did the prior 2 years, because that junior team sucked and he was like it. And he was just getting, like, he was running for his life. He was having to make plays, and he kind of kept him in it. But that was kind of the other thing I was thinking about last night, in that, yeah, he missed some throws. But
yeah, the 4th-and-3 was a bad throw, but I also thought that was a bad decision. I mean, we've seen, you know, it's funny. I don't know if we've talked about this. We may have. We've gone so far to the dark side.
Oh, this is huge. This is a huge thing for me.
Like, look, I had Mississippi State over the weekend. Good God, that was a painful exercise. I knew that double personal foul at the end of the first half was going to bite us in the rear end, and it almost did, but
it tried.
Lebby went for like 4th-and-6 from midfield at like, what, 17-10? I'm like, what are we doing? It's okay to punt every once in a while. And for Ben Johnson, I get it, man. You're super aggressive, and Dan Campbell really embraced the aggressive nature. Kick a field goal is 4th-and-3. Like, it's not the end of the world. Kick a field goal.
Yeah, to me, this is where it really, especially, it's like, we've here's what's happened. Coaches have gotten so, you know, they don't like being questioned. I always love how the people that...
Ask Deion Sanders.
Correct. The people that preach accountability the most are the ones that want to be held accountable the least. I've always found that ironic. But with that being said, the book has given them this just ultimate shield of, well, what did you expect? The book said go for it. And my whole problem with the book is not a ignorance to math. My whole problem with it is this is not a card game. There are not fixed outcomes. I can't just... There aren't 52 cards in here. There's a lot of things that can happen. And it's played by human beings that have different sizes, different shapes, different skill sets. Not everything is literally a coin flip where it's either heads or it's tails. Like, it just isn't. But what I think has happened is we for far too long were not going for enough, not, you know, and what happened is the pendulum swung so far, and now all of these metrics basically always say go for it. Why? Because you have a chance with the ball to make to change the outcome. Therefore, it's going to say go for it. Well, you get into these situations where it's not factoring in the fact that how many touchdown drives did the Vikings have before the fourth quarter?
Zero.
That's not true. They had one, but it was a touchdown drive for the Bears.
Oh, that's right.
When he threw the deep out. Yeah. So, yes, that was their touchdown drive for the deep out. Like, at a certain point, man, getting it to a two-score game, getting it to, like, it's a matter of possessions. And I just think that we need to, at some point, like, we gotta somehow normalize, take the points every now and then.
And look, I'm not trying to swerve this, but I go back to Sunday Night Football, and I know it didn't bite them, but like, if you're going to accept the penalty on an extra point and put it on the 1 yard line, why are you doing a rollout 2-point conversion? That defeats the purpose of going for a 2-point conversion. I'm talking about the Bills,
yes,
when they were down 27-20 or 27-19. And look, they ultimately came back, and the Ravens made a dumb decision, in my opinion, because there's two sides to every coin. It's 40-25, and you've got a chance to make it a three-possession game, I'd go for two there with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry to make it 42-25, and then the Bills aren't coming back. So it's, look,
conversely, you know, like where I say is, like, I would say on fourth and whatever it was, fourth and three, fourth and two, whatever it was going to wind up being. If I'm sitting there and I'm Harbaugh, this is where game flow matters. Do I really think if I give the ball back to Josh, I'm getting a stop?
I kind of am okay kicking the field here, or kicking punting.
Okay, here would be my other explanation. I think also what happens is, let's say you don't get it. Let's say it's worst case scenario. What oftentimes happens in those situations is when the team gets the ball and they know they just need a field goal, they clam up and they play very conservatively and they're going to kick a field goal. You had all three timeouts. What was more than likely to happen was they were going to kick a long field goal. Who knows if it goes in or not with Prater. But at the minimum, let's say it goes in, you would have gotten the ball back with more time. You would have gotten the ball back with time.
That I agree with, yes.
Like, so that was my whole deal. Is like, I just would have been fearful of giving the ball back to Josh Allen. But that's the other thing that I've been watching in college football. As I continue to see more and more defensive lines just ruin offensive lines, I think there needs to be some type of recalibration, man, of, hey, man, sometimes we're just going to have to take some points. Like, I know we want to score touchdowns, and I know Bud Elliott's going to tell us that we didn't make the right decision. But you know what? Sometimes points is better than no points. And then my whole deal is everyone acts like that there is no emotional or psychological component to when you don't get it. There is. You can watch sidelines just completely evaporate if they don't get it.
For sure.
Okay, so with all that being said, we got two big ones. One involves your team, one involves one of the local teams here. So, speaking of the pendulum swinging too far, have we wildly overreacted on Georgia?
Yes. I literally just recorded a podcast with the Bear, Chris Felica, and we did a segment, and I could do it right now if you want.
I would be happy to.
It's called Overreaction or Market Correction. And Georgia at Tennessee fascinates me. Because last Friday, that was Monday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days ago, the Georgia Bulldogs were a 6.5-point favorite. A bettable number at DraftKings, a national shop. And it is now 3.5.
This would be the smallest point spread for sure in the Heupel era. This is the smallest point spread dating back to Tennessee's thriller in 2016. I think 16 is Kirby's first year. Remember, that was Jacob Eason. That was the Hail Mary game. That was the dueling Hail Marys.
So we have this situation. And then, by the way, in the summer, when Game of the Year lines were out, it was Georgia -7.5. Tennessee is still going to be without their starting corners, even though the two that have filled in have been admirable, right?
Yeah. No, my questions are less about Tennessee's defense in this game. My question is why I've seen this song and dance where Tennessee looks very good offensively and they go up against Georgia.
Who have they played?
They have beaten a Syracuse team that had to run gassers in front of all their friends and family. And
should have lost to UConn. Shout out to the Huskies who got some people to the window and some was a bad beat.
Oh boy, hope you got it early.
Yeah.
And they have beaten East Tennessee State.
Now, Georgia, what, beat the Governors by 22 last week of Austin Peay. Shout out to the Let's Go Peay folks.
And they beat Marshall 45-7. So
and Marshall might be the worst team in the Sun Belt or one of the worst teams in the Sun
they
Belt.
They certainly look like they're in the running.
So,
now, to be clear, Kirby never looks good in those games. That's what I'm saying.
And that's the thing. Kirby has historically not really covered those numbers.
Literally never. He's like 0-15 when it's 38 or more.
Look, man, you know me. I love me a home dog more than most. I'm going to be on Georgia. I don't know if it's going to be on a money line that seems very cheap. Money line parlay, lay the chalk. I think this is a wild overreaction. We don't know what either one of these teams are. And I'll say this. I think there are questions about Georgia's offense again.
And particularly their offensive line. Because if we want to do the Tennessee injuries on the defensive side of the ball, Georgia's had a bunch of injuries on the offensive line. And no one really, you know, it's typical SEC Saban disciple fashion. Everyone's being mum is the word on who's available.
Sure. So that's, I mean, look, if you want to be out there and you want to bet Tennessee or you want to believe that the Vols are going to win this game, I'm not going to push back. We don't know what Georgia is. I'm just going to believe at this point that this is an overreaction. And look, I have there's a real good chance I could go into this weekend and get my absolute teeth kicked in from the thoughts that I have about a handful of these games. But man, I think this is a wild overreaction on two teams we really haven't seen. I imagine their A game, and Syracuse, I bet they're under preseason. I think they're a bad football team. I'm not going to really take much positives out of that game for Tennessee.
The positives, I will say, because
Joey Aguilar looked good.
Honestly, my positives were because I've seen every hypo quarterback be able to hit wide open guys way down the field, hit big plays. Like he is very good at scheming up explosive plays, and he's not going to take a quarterback that's incapable of hitting that throw. I am very high on Tennessee's defense in that I think they're physical, and I think that they can keep them in most games. This is what I hate entirely about this sport, though. One of the reasons why I was lower on Georgia coming into the year than I think most SEC people were is I do not trust Gunnar Stockton. I've not seen anything that makes me say I trust Gunnar Stockton, but here I am going, what are we doing here? This line is way too small.
I agree. I mean, I think those are fair. And look, if Georgia goes out and loses on the road in what will be a hostile environment, I tip my cap and say, hey, market was right. It moved. But to move 3 points, like once again, I know you and I talk a lot of gambling and folks listening in might not be all that into the gambling side of things. This is a pretty big move for two teams that, once again, haven't really showed a ton.
Well, the other thing I was thinking about, so yes, last week we have the whole Florida USF shocker, but
you know where I am at on this one.
Well, the thing though that I find interesting though is what the last few seasons have been defined by has been top 10 losses. We haven't really seen that yet this year, other than top 10 teams playing each other. Is it bubbling this week?
All right, so give me some teams. You think Clemson?
So that's
Clemson's not top 10.
Well, so was Clemson included in your overreaction?
Oh, yeah.
This is another one.
This was 7.5 on Friday. It's now 3 at one shop here in town. 3! A 4.5-point move.
This is what drives me insane. Klubnik is another guy that I'm not as high on, and now whatever, like it's one of those ones where it's like I get backed into a corner of going, right. I have to go against what I believed preseason, but now it's like you're giving me the price so low, okay, I guess I have to take it.
It's funny because, yeah, on Friday, these numbers, so DraftKings puts out look-ahead lines every Wednesday, and they do about 10 games, and I'm going to start charting them all season long. And the Georgia Tech plus 7.5, I was like, ooh, that's tasty. I could get myself a little Georgia Tech plus 7.5. And now, yeah, I think this is, I do think, and I'll say this, Antonio Williams doesn't sound like he's going to play. I think it was day-to-day was the way Dabo said it, and I'm thinking that's more of a, yeah, he's probably not going to play. And I think their running back room is far worse. The loss of Phil Maffa, I wildly underestimated
that. Topmeyer and I talked about this. You'd realize it like when they get into short yardage and they just cannot get a first down and they have to throw it. Like that's a clear, you know what it reminds me of, and George will unfortunately agree with this. It's like last year with Ole Miss when they'd had enough, like Clemson didn't say pack your bags, Phil Maffa, but when Ole Miss had just had enough of team Judkins, they desperately missed him in short yardage last year.
Did Maffa have eligibility?
I don't think. I think he was done. But I'm saying it reminds me of the same thing where like no one really thought like we kind of also overcorrected on the running backs don't matter. It's like, well, Philadelphia Eagles said one mattered.
Right.
And it's like my thing on running backs are if you have generic average football team, okay, running back may not matter. But
you
if
think
we're
Boise State misses their running back?
I was gonna say if we're talking about good teams, a good running back makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it helps your quarterback. It opens up a lot. And look, it's funny. As the summer went on, I opened up the summer being like, I'm all in on Clemson. Not to win the title, but I thought the ACC would be down outside of Clemson. And now Miami, through a very impressive week one win and, you know, a nothing burger week two, now they'll play South Florida, which we'll get to here in just a moment. The ACC's much more competitive than I thought. SMU, I think, is down. Brutal game for them. Glorious for others. Florida State, we'll see what they are as the season goes on, if they're better, if they are, you know, what they look like. But yeah, man, I have questions about Clemson. But to your point, this is a massive overreaction. Now, could Georgia Tech win the game? Yes. But just know, 4 days ago, Georgia Tech was a 7.5-point underdog, and they are now a 3-point underdog at one sportsbook in Las Vegas. That's crazy.
Okay, so then the other possibilities. I mean,
LSU Florida's on the list.
I would say, if we are in the world is nothing but comedy, Florida losing to USF at home and then going to Baton Rouge and winning the game would be truly hilarious. With that being said, I don't expect it to happen. Now, does that mean by Friday I won't talk myself into being on Florida with the points? No, it doesn't. But, like, do I think the team that can't get lined up and the team that has a player spitting on another player a mere 24 hours after watching the most public display of don't do that ever, do I think that team's going to clean it up and go win on the road? Not really, but at the same time, it's like, well, that's kind of college football.
So I do want to bet Florida here. The reason I'm a little bit hesitant is this is a massive revenge spot because Florida embarrassed LSU a year ago. And I think this is going to be that primo, we need to get back at them type of game as they beat them a year ago. But I don't know, man. I think Florida.
I just want to say we thought the same thing last year when Florida limped into Knoxville, and we thought that was a revenge spot for Tennessee. We needed overtime and more. We needed more Sun Belt Billy, big time play calling.
Sun Belt Billy, baby. 20-20 to start his tenure at Florida. Kind of have to beat South Florida, buddy. When you have LSU, Miami, Texas A&M, and Texas in the next 4 weeks. But I'm probably going to talk myself into Florida because that's just what I do.
All right, and then your team's game. So A&M comes into town. So it's a completely different matchup than last year. A&M has honestly been pretty sleepwalky the first 2 weeks.
Their defense has looked very gettable. But their offense looks kind of the part.
Their defense has been susceptible to the run. There is the question of how vanilla are they going to be? Although, you know as well as anyone, Mike Elko's defense is not exactly, let's just say we're not watching Brian Flores saying, like, how many different ways can I blitz you? That's not really Elko's defense. Elko's defense is keep it in front of you, and we're gonna let college teams make mistakes. But it is another big-time start for another young quarterback in C.J. Carr. And it's like with A&M's offense, is it dynamic? No, but I do think they know what they want to do.
So what's interesting is, let's go through the games we just mentioned, right? So on Friday, Georgia was a 6.5-point favorite. They're now a 3.5-point favorite. Clemson was a 7.5-point favorite. They're now a 3.5 or 3-point favorite. LSU was a 7-point favorite. They're now around 8.5, 9. Notre Dame, Texas A&M has not moved. It was 7. It's now 7. It got to 6.5. A little pushback here to Notre Dame to 7. What's funny is last year, this game was an absolute dead under. It was a boxing match. It was, 23-13 wasn't even really what it was. There was a late touchdown, if I remember.
No, I mean, truthfully, it's like it didn't have the star power, but it was a featured game. But it was very reminiscent to me of Texas and Ohio State week one this year, where it's like if you were watching it and your team wasn't involved, you were bored.
I feel like this has the, I'm not going to say shootout, but this has the chance to be a higher scoring game. And you've seen that a little bit in the betting market. It's up to like 49.5. Because I look at Texas A&M, and as you pointed out, they have been a little leaky defensively, which is surprising. Utah State didn't really do much against them. I think they did cover. I think the number
they
was like
did.
30.
Yeah, but that was the classic. A&M was just trying to keep the clock rolling and get to next week.
But UTSA, who... Didn't they just lose to Texas State?
They did. That was a very different football game.
UTSA ran for 200 yards against A&M. So I look at A&M and I'm like, all right, Marcel Reed is, I think, going to be is a pretty good quarterback. But to your point, we don't really know. They played UTSA and Utah State. But they've got two legit wide receivers in Concepcion, the transfer from NC State, and then Carver. Or is it Craver? Craver, right?
Craver.
The Craver, the kid from Mississippi State. They both look great. And look, I'll say this. Notre Dame, I was surprised. I thought they got a little bit at the wide receiver position against Miami. And I would say on paper, A&M's got two better guys than Miami does. Even though
I think the freshman might be special.
All right. So the Malachi Toney is very impressive. But C.J. Daniels he made the miraculous catch for Miami.
Tim, he literally made the Odell Beckham catch, but he did it in traffic.
I know. And he should have got absolutely obliterated in the ribs, and I'm a little annoyed by that.
I think nobody could believe it. I think, no one could believe that Beck threw it, because you want to talk about a YOLO ball. Was a YOLO ball.
How different are we talking about Carson Beck today, if that's an interception? Because that's a bad throw.
Okay,
that he got bailed out.
The only pushback I would have is I think that if he gets picked there, I think Miami would not have been
conservative.
They wouldn't have gone full Mario as early as they did.
I'm not saying that Miami wasn't the right side. I was very impressed with Miami, and I thought, as I said, might have said it last week on the show, I thought they out Notre Dame'd Notre Dame. They were the bully on the lines. And Texas A&M is going to have their left tackle back, which is big for them. Notre Dame's defensive line is, I think, pretty gettable. I think this is kind of a higher scoring game, but what's interesting to note is like a buddy of mine that I really respect his opinion. He's a pretty sharp dude. I don't know if he considers himself a pro better, but he's texted me multiple times this week as he does his deep dive. And he's like, Notre Dame's going to win by double digits. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay, I hope so.
So here's where you can talk me into it. If Notre Dame is able to stay on schedule, because I think what happened also in the Miami game was, I think Notre Dame had a clear, concise game plan of we're gonna go on the road, we're gonna bring our run game, and then basically Miami was like, we know you're gonna come out and you're gonna run RPOs, we're not gonna let you give it to Love, and we're gonna come up and tackle. I'm not really sure that's the style of defense Elko wants to play. Now, the question will be, will he sit there and go, you know what Miami did? Maybe I don't have the exact same athletes, but I got good athletes. Let's try to recreate that. That's where I think it becomes interesting.
Well, and I think the unknown is Marcel Reed, right? He's had some big moments where he's played really well, but he's also had moments where you're like, could he make some mistakes? And you've got, I mean, what number start is this for Reed? Like 8 or 9?
Yeah, I mean, what? I felt like he played like 7 games last year as a starter.
Right. I mean, this is a big environment, man. And Notre Dame, I would say, can be sleepy in the afternoon, but they tend to get up pretty good for night games. I've been to a bunch of night games. That's a pretty good environment at nighttime. Afternoon, a little bit overrated. Not like scenery, you know what I'm saying? Like, not. It's not loud. I think it's loud. I think they're going to be up for this game. And I'll say this. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. This is desperation for Notre Dame. Like, I hate saying that on September 13th or whatever. If they lose this game, they're not going to the playoff.
So this is, This will be his 17th game and his 11th start.
Wow, he's already started 11 games?
Yeah.
That's pretty...
Well, because remember last year, before, like, they were still doing the Wegman.
That's right.
But then Wegman got hurt, and then Marcel took over. I think Notre Dame's a lot like a lot of big schools. You see this often where people go and get underwhelmed because maybe their team is not a team that the home team takes seriously, and they leave not impressed. But, like, Michigan has the reputation, the Big House is a wine and cheese crowd. Well, when you bring Ohio State into town, it's not a wine and cheese crowd. I think the same thing holds true for Alabama. It's like Alabama can be a very nose-up crowd, but if you get them in a game where they take it seriously, like, it's deafening. And I think that holds true for a lot of big programs. I find it hard to believe that Notre Dame's not going to be a great environment on Saturday night. Now, we didn't get to the big question, though.
Yeah.
Have you seen who's on the call for NBC Sports?
Noah.
Nope.
What?
Nope. They didn't switch it to the big game NBC broadcast.
I was told it was Noah.
It's Dan in the Clapper, baby.
You sure about that?
This is what I think Marchand or somebody wrote it today.
Oh, man. I was told it was Noah.
Who was? No. Jimmy Trania said it was a mistake.
All right, hold on. I'm pulling up the game notes right now from Texas A&M. Of course, Texas A&M is the only team in the country who does not list the
on the very first page,
the front page. What are we doing? Texas
like everyone
A&M?
Has a graphic. Like this
I know
is,
exactly where
yes,
to look.
Exactly.
Now I'm like, where? All right. Well, maybe we have to go to break, but that annoys me. I was told it was Noah. I was excited. I like Noah. I think he's very good.
And I love Blackledge.
Notre Dame's official game notes, Noah Eagle, Todd Blackledge, Catherine Tappan.
Okay, so I need to figure out why Trania said the wrong thing.
I don't know, but Notre Dame's game notes says that NBC will be sending Noah Eagle, Todd Blackledge, and Catherine Tappan.
All right, so let's go to break and let's clear this up because that's, to me, that actually changes the viewing. Like that, like honestly, that means like, Notre Dame A&M might get TV one Saturday night.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
All right. We'll look it up after this, and we'll come back with our weekly awards. We'll do it next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, it's that time. Let's recap the week that was in college football. Let's hand out some awards. Who was your team of the week last week? I think there's only two options, right?
I think I got to give it to Oklahoma.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, that was an impressive performance, and really 24-13 to me is not even that telling of the game. I thought Oklahoma more or less dominated it.
I felt like Michigan was – now, it was that weird thing where I
they
felt,
had that big run at, yeah. the, at the start of the half. You're well, like, oh! But,
well, and then they gave them the two turnovers, and I was like, okay, if they cash these in, all of a sudden, like I wasn't asking them to win. I was just asking them to get inside of six.
Yeah, so – I'm sure you know people listening want it to be Mississippi State. I'm a big fan.
Oh,
of that.
I thought no, you're right. There's three options,
But I'll give it to Oklahoma. And obviously, I imagine I'll leave the one maybe obvious one for you. But
yeah,
I'll say Oklahoma.
I'm going to say USF, not because I thought their performance was like particularly inspiring, but what I give them credit is sometimes in football, if your opponent's going to just beat themselves, let them do it. And
ask Illinois about that.
Correct. Well, that's the other thing. I think you and I are the only two people that bet on Duke, and we didn't feel like Duke was the right side.
No, I think Illinois is probably the right side, but I mean, you also can't do box score and just say, "Oh, Illinois killed him." No, Duke.
Okay, but here's what I felt.
Vomited on themselves.
Here's what I felt like watching that, and again, I'm deeply intimate with Brett Bielema's let them screw up. They just baited Mensa into, like, every mistake that he made, and then he – it's a shame that –
wide receivers also dropped a couple fumbles.
Correct. Like, but, like
– muffed a punt.
But on top of that, it was like, we don't trust that they can play clean football. And then for everyone that watched the beauty that was the artist formerly known as the Citrus Bowl last year when he just trolled Shane Beamer into, like, true, like, psychic – or just truly, like, psycho behavior – guys, he got Manny Diaz to do the same thing. Yeah. Like every time Duke would sub a receiver, he would bring in a hockey line change of defensive linemen and just sit on the play clock. And like they wound up getting a bunch of delay games, and Manny is just going bananas on the sideline. I just felt like the whole time I was like, oh, they're just doing the thing where like we don't think you can actually not make a mistake, and they were right. So I don't know. That was one that I was like, I know they were moving the ball, but I was like, I don't really trust them. I'm going with USF just solely because we got to really bring back, like, the final two games of last year, I felt like the Sun Belt Billy was, it kind of got retired as, like, you were piling on and you were using something that didn't apply anymore. It was nice to know, like, week two, USF did it to him, and now we can just bring back Sun Belt Billy, and even Gator fans are just, like, calling him Sun Belt Billy.
I mean, this whole offseason, it was, you know, the talent that's on this roster. Think about how they ended last season. I'm like, yeah, you know, you might be right. DJ Lagway could be that dude. And then they lose to South Florida.
Now, to be clear,
who could be?
Lagway.
Who could be the G5 representative?
And who knows? Like, I know this. I can already tell you USF is going to replace last year's Indiana and 2023's Arizona for me. I'm going after that scalp, baby.
Oh, I already laid it with
them. Oh, yeah. And I can't wait to lose a third. You know what I mean? Because like it's not even like it's personal. It's just like I'm watching these games, and I'm like, down to down, they're not winning. But you know what? At a certain point, like that's part of the strategy. So I'll go with USF.
I can't wait for someone, and I will, as soon as it happens, I will send you it. There's absolutely one or multiple people who will say, oh, that line is disrespectful.
Oh, yeah. But in fairness, they said it last week. The one that I guess we can get into it when we get to where I was wrong.
Yeah.
I thought Alex Golish was, like, pumping up his team when he went on Cannell's show and was like, listen, I think it's going to be a fourth quarter game. He didn't say, like, oh, we're going to go win. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I think we're going to be it in the fourth quarter. And I thought he was just kind of blowing smoke. Nope. He had a pretty good read on that game.
He did.
And again, Florida had chances to put the game away. It was still a fourth quarter game. You know what I mean? Like, let's say Florida wins that game by 10, which was possible, but they didn't do it. He was still right. It was still a close game.
Did he just get hired by a P4 team with that win? Or does he still have to? I mean, I guess he can't go 2-10, but.
The question was, did he just get hired by the team he beat?
Hmm.
I don't know. That's also what I'm. If Florida, like, Florida loses two more here in the next three.
Oh, I asked this question. I know we're in the midst of doing awards. Who gets fired in the Sunshine State first? Sunbelt Billy or Mike McDaniel?
I'm going to say Sunbelt Billy because...
Ooh, that's a zag.
Strickland, the AD, just got his extension last week. And Stephen Ross is kind of the guy that doesn't like to pay people not to work for him.
Mm.
Now...
By the way, back-to-back big wins for the CW. How about Baylor SMU last week and now Miami and USF?
I'm seeing whispers this could be like the biggest program ever on the CW.
No, I disagree. I mean, they've got Liv, man. Tons of people watch that, right?
Not anymore. Fox now.
Oh, okay, okay.
They had
Liv. That was
they had dozens of people watching Liv Golf. I'll give you the obvious Heisman winner. I'm going with Sawyer Robertson simply because, like, he might single-handedly be bringing back hashtag the brand of Big 12 football because they can't stop anyone, and he's just letting it rip on every single play, and it's just, like, a delight to watch. As someone who just grew up in the era of loving Steve Spurrier football, it's like, this is just a throwback to old-school Big 12, like, no defense, let it rip, let's see what happens.
Dude, Sawyer Robertson, so my son's name's Sawyer, and I was trying to convince him to watch this game. I'm like, hey, he's got the same name as you. For like, it worked for about 30 seconds. He's like, nah, I don't care.
I mean, I used to like Jarrett Wright for the Indians simply because it was just Jay Wright. He didn't even have my real name, but it was like close enough, and I'd like to watch him pitch.
859 passing yards through 2 weeks against Auburn and SMU. 7 touchdowns, no picks. The dude's a baller, man. He's an absolute baller. I thought they should have gone for 2 when they made it 38-37. I also had plus 2.5, so
yeah,
I was
might have been influenced.
Might have been influenced a little bit, but that was a lot of fun. So I have no pushback. I actually probably would lean that way. Yeah, I'll give it to the obvious, John Mateer.
Yep.
Very impressive. Should he be the betting favorite to win the Heisman? I guess. I worry about his durability, man. Like,
he also, this is the thing, and I give him credit because he'll be on where I was wrong. He still puts the ball in jeopardy.
Yeah. And he, I mean,
he's fearless, though.
He's fearless. He's a badass. But, like, man, you've got Auburn, you've got Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Mizzou, LSU. I mean,
he's
got
their running game, too.
Right. And, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, if you watch late night football like you and I do, Jaden Ott's a good football player, and they're not giving him the football.
It sounds like injury.
Well, they tried to say on Saturday morning with Thamel, oh, he was, he's fine.
I don't put any stock to that. Lane Kiffin will text Chris Lowe every single Saturday of, like, Trey Harris can play today.
But you got to give it to Mateer. Mateer.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with that.
Hell of a performance. And, yeah. But I think Sawyer Robertson was tremendous. And I think that Baylor team, I think their defense will be their downfall, which is kind of ironic considering their.
Yep.
Head coach is thought to be one of the best defensive minds in the sport, but Sawyer Robertson's a baller.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, so most heavy-handed narrative, I'm kind of having to recalibrate this. But you know what I found interesting, Tim? When Mississippi State had an awesome field storming, didn't hear a lot of national pundits go off about the lack of safety. What are we doing here? This has to stop. You know why? Because it always comes from the same two places. It's the University of True Sore Losers. Whenever Alabama gets the field stormed on them, oh, you can't wait to hear about, oh my God, how unsafe this is. And then when Duke basketball, Coach K gets all the acolytes out there, Seth Davis, all of them are on TV crying about Filipowski. He could have had his knee ripped to shreds. And then it comes out 2 days later, Filipowski's like, yeah, I faked it, sorry. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, and no apology, whatnot. It's part of the sport. It's awesome. Shut up. Like, that's part of the problem that you have with being the standard of the sport. It comes with being able to win all the championships. People rush the field on you. Didn't hear a lot of it this week, did you?
I did not.
It's funny how that works, huh?
I must have dropped at least 5 Bruce Dickinson references on the tailgate show on Saturday. Gold-plated diapers. Obviously, they need more cowbell.
Yes.
I didn't drop a, I'm the cock of the walk, babe.
By the way, I'm sure everyone at Davis Wade Stadium was listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company at 3:30 last week. They did not ring responsibly.
Good job.
As we asked.
As I told Stormy, who was on the sidelines for that game, my colleague Stormy Bonnetoni, who is with, that's a very good crew, by the way. And I
Absolutely.
Know I'm a bit partial because of Stormy, but I think Dave Fleming is, I think he's an elite broadcaster. He does everything.
Dave's great, and Brock doesn't get enough credit. Like, I think we always just think of, like, Brock's just tall. No, like, Brock's pretty good at it.
Yeah, that's a good crew. And I told Stormy when she joined my tailgate show on Saturday, I was like, I mean this with all due respect. I hope they blow your eardrums
yep,
out.
Absolutely.
And yes, it, I mean, that first half was on fire. So credit to all of you great people down there. And I know it was hard for Arizona State to stay an hour and a half away, but
yeah,
such is life.
Such is life. All right. Stock up. Do we need to tick up Oregon? Or are they just doing
yes,
the thing where
yes.
they're just hammering, like, incompetent opponents, because I am watching this on Saturday going, like, are they the best team, like, by far?
Well, don't anger Dan Lanning.
I think
when
that's
he has
true.
A chance
this
to be bullied.
This was the Colorado game
this was
2 years ago. Yeah,
they're here for clicks.
Yeah.
We're here for wins. That game.
I do think you could see on the sideline when they did not put up 50 in the first half, he was visibly upset.
I do think now, I don't think we'll learn much about this game against Northwestern this weekend.
No.
They just lost their running back for the year. They were awful down at Tulane. I do think Oregon, I think it's fair to say stock up on Oregon, even though they're, what, a top 10 team, top 5 team. But, yeah, I think that's fair to say stock arrow pointed up on them.
I'm going to say this was a twofer. I'm going stock down on Louisville.
But I just lost a linebacker, too, for an extended period of time.
On the flip side, as it pertains to the Sun Belt, I'm going stock up on JMU because what I watched from their defensive line, there are not a lot of Sun Belt offensive lines that are going to be able to handle that. Like, they were truly, like, that was not fluky. Like, they were just winning up front.
Are you in the stock up that they could be the G5 representative?
I don't think they're going to. I think the problem is, even if USF loses this week and then wins the American, I think because of their schedule, they're basically going to have two mulligans. I still think the American's going to have the leg up, but I will say I'm worried that, like, USF, Tulane, Memphis kind of split, and then you know what I mean? Like, you wind up with maybe the wrong team winning the league.
Or, like, 2 years ago when the committee, and granted, we didn't have the expanded playoff, but the committee just was a bunch of morons, and we're like, Liberty's undefeated. They should get in over SMU, when we all knew SMU was better, and then Liberty looked like
I do think
garbage.
That's actually working in their favor. I do think the
AAC is the best G5 conference, and I really don't think it's that close.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So cut another one more stock down. I'm out on the Kevin Jennings experience. It's an affront to me of how he plays quarterback because he just gets the snap and he's just trying. Like, he's never playing ever in structure. Everything is just, I am just trying to wait long enough to let a pass rush get around and then I'm just going to go and just ad-lib it. Like, his playbook is, it doesn't exist. And I've just, he makes so many unaware plays, I'm just out. No, you can, every one of you else, y'all can have all of the Kevin Jennings stocks, I'm done.
I thought SMU would take a big step back. I was a little frustrated how much success they were having early on in that game. But yeah, I think
that was more Baylor's defense.
Yeah, dude, Baylor's defense. I don't know if there's any stock down on Baylor's defense. That is a terrible defense.
And then the other stock down, I think we just have to say in general, the Big 12.
Dude, whoa. Come on. Those mighty Utes are off to a strong start here.
It is funny how if Utah is actually what they've been promised to be the last 3 years, like, it will change everyone's perception. And I do agree that Utah looks different. I'm also holding out.
Now, they also played UCLA, who just lost to UNLV.
Correct.
And not that you can buy, you know, the whole point of stock up, stock down. Yeah, we can go ahead and just throw Nico in there. Yes.
Well, and in fairness, it's just UCLA. Like, that
UCLA has a bad football team.
I don't know if they're going to be Purdue bad last year, but they're going to be close.
I mean, they play New Mexico on a Friday night on BTN. New Mexico kind of looked halfway decent against Michigan. Now, I don't know if Michigan was just kind of playing it close to the vest, and maybe I'm going to be prisoner of the moment here, but UCLA better there. By the way, there's going to be some really good shots of an empty Rose Bowl on Friday night.
Oh, boy, will there be. Double down. I think I've decided, we talked about it at the start of the show, I think I'm going to double down on Clemson. If the price is going to be this low, I think I'm going to do. I'm sorry, Georgia. I'm going to double down on Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Georgia.
Clemson.
No. Georgia, I still believe in. I believe that they have more collective talent.
I know that coach, and I can only imagine what this week is like, where he's probably telling everybody that they are the worst team in the SEC. Like, that dude. Who was it? There was a player after the TCU game when they won the title by like a gajillion. Oh, yeah, people were picking us to go 6-6. Literally no one picked you to go 6-6.
No, not a single one. But he did convince them. What we got right, we both were right about Mississippi State. I got Vandy right.
We were almost not right about that. Man. Let me ask you this.
Is anyone really seriously saying they should have gone for it?
No.
That's the fourth quarter. It's a tie game. They could have taken the lead, and Mississippi State had not scored that half.
You have to kick it.
And I don't understand. Like, I this isn't even me doing a bit of we don't kick it enough. That was a fourth quarter game. To me, it's a very different thing if they're up 3 points. If you're up 3 points and you sit there and go, you should go for this to try to make it a 10-point game rather than a 6-point game, I am in complete agreement there. Because now they got to go 99 if you don't get it. But this was, it was a tie game. They had to take the lead.
You have to kick it. And Mississippi State had done absolutely nothing. By the way, can I just say this about the Vanderbilt-Virginia Tech game?
Yeah.
I did not play it because I thought...
Oh, you don't believe?
I'm
going to be like you with Dion. I'm going to be Dion. I don't even care when they're... We talked about this. We don't care when Diego's a trendy dog. We trust Diego more than we trust the Vegas betting aspect of it.
Be a trendy dog again this week.
And guess what I'm going to be on.
So we as a collective college football world here, and I think you'll agree with me on this, we've got to stop saying that Lane Stadium is a daunting environment. It is not. They have a cool entrance, maybe one of, if not the coolest entrance, with Enter Sandman. It gets popping for a night game, and then they lose. They're not a good football program right now, and they haven't been for a while.
Oh,
might be the most overrated home field environment in college football. They don't win big games.
Okay, but they don't win games anywhere.
But everyone tells me, late at night.
I guess this is my thing.
Now, I'm from the D.C. area, so it's a little bit, a lot of Virginia Tech folks in my life. They don't win big games.
I think that is a problem with the program.
No, I agree. But everyone continues to tell me,
But I think if you actually say, like, I guarantee you, if you put the, what is...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.